Welcome to all of you for Harsha Engineers Quarter 1 FY25 earnings call. As per our normal practice, our CFO, Mr. Maulik Jasani, will take you through the numbers in greater detail. However, I presume that you would have had a chance to look at that same. First and foremost, I'm happy to report that quarter one FY25 performance is very much in line with our expectations. Except for continued softness at Romania level, which I will talk about at greater length a bit later. As you would have seen, although the top line growth in quarter one FY25 appears to be slightly muted as compared to quarter one FY24, the profitability growth is quite in line with our expectations. As compared to quarter four FY24, top line is slightly lower on account of solar business due to project nature of the business, and usually quarter one is lean as compared to quarter four. Let me highlight first, if we talk about India engineering business, we have sustained well on almost all fronts. However, more noticeable is the strong growth achieved in the bronze bushing segment, which has achieved sales of about 20 crores, largely on account of business coming from our key existing customers who are manufacturing windmill gearboxes and supplying this to Indian as well as overseas markets. I would say that this does not necessarily mean a significant revival of wind segment in the overseas market, but more attributable to increased allocation to bushing as compared to bearings by these customers, and higher share of allocation to Harsha by these customers. Thus, I am hopeful of a bush segment contributing at least 80 crores in sales on annual basis to FY25. If I talk about outsourcing of cage business and progress related to that, again, this is in line with our expectation. We are continuing to see traction there. While I'm not able to reveal more details, I'm happy to share that the progress in outsourcing project from Europe is quite satisfactory. Further, if we talk of overall India demand position, while there was some indicative softening in growth, as much as our order book is concerned, we do not see any major impact as yet. At the same time, as indicated earlier, we have started receiving orders from key customers who have set up their new plants in India, more in line with China plus one status. Further, the business from Japan-based customers continues to grow, though it's a little slower than expected, and we are expecting that growth will catch up in next few quarters. Thus, we are achieving sales of around 18 crore with Japan-based customers in quarter one. And similarly, sales of stamping at around 14 crore in quarter one. Also quite satisfactory. However, the sale of large size bearing cages was a little bit soft in quarter one, and largely on account of overall continued softness in demand from windmill segment as well as industrial demand softening in Europe. Coming to Romania, as indicated in the last call, we have adopted a new strategy of aggressively increasing the share of cage as compared to semi-finish business or a casting business from Romania. We have already received some encouraging new orders for cages from one of our key customers in Europe. And there are ongoing discussions for additional opportunities with various customers, which is ongoing. impact of these development on our number is more likely to be felt in quarter three, financial year 2025. However, directionally, we are satisfied with our progress and hopeful of reporting improved results coming in coming quarter, starting from quarter four FY25. Further, as predicted and indicated in our previous call, China has continued to perform quite well with overall demand conditions reasonably positive. Thus, we are confident that FY25 in China will contribute positively to our bottom line. Thus, if we combine annual contribution of our overseas subsidiaries in FY25, it should be marginally negative as per our current estimates. I'm happy to confirm overall the growth guidance for FY2025 remains same as per last call. That is top line growth in range of, about 10% plus as compared to FY24, and a bottom line growth expected to be much higher. I sincerely thank you all for continued trust and confidence, and I wish all of you a very good evening. Over to you, Maulik.
Yeah, thanks, Vishalai, for the business overview. Hello, everyone, and good afternoon. As we discussed and we have published the numbers for the quarter ended June 24, our engineering business at consolidated level has done the top line of 327 crore against the 321 crore top line in the previous quarter, immediate previous quarter, and against the 331 crore in the same quarter last year. We have achieved the consolidated EBITDA for engineering business of 62.4 crore in this quarter 1 FY25 against 60.6 crore in the last quarter of the last year and 48.8 crore in the quarter 1 of FY24. On the back of the strong growth in the bushing business, positive contribution from domestic and Chinese customers, continued focus on cost and raw material price reductions, along with the better product mix, we have seen the overall improved EBITDA margin at both the consolidated and standalone level. While in our solar business, as we discussed, we have achieved the revenue of 16.6 crore and EBITDA positively of 0.71 crore in first quarter. We see that solar business is also having still a good order level due to focused cost control and favorable Gujarat renewable energy policy from Gujarat government. Overall working capital cycle remain at 153 days. On account of increasing pricing as well as the inventory in pipeline, against the 141 days in last quarter. We incurred the overall capex of 42 crore in the first quarter, FY25. With this brief on the financial numbers, I hand it over to the operator to take over the Q&A questions from the participants. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jason Soans from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, my first question pertains to, your gross margins have basically driven the EBITDA as well. So just wanted to know, of course, you alluded to certain reasons like increased contribution from bushings. Just wanted some more color on, so basically your gross margin last quarter, Q4, or on an average in FY24 was around 44%. I'm just talking about a console level basis, which is increased to 51% in 1Q. So it's a considerable jump. So just wanted to know what are the exact reasons for the same?
Yeah, hi, Jason.
Yes.
As we discussed, and as Vishalvi has also pointed out, few reasons over there. One is the last quarter, if you see consolidated along with solar numbers, then solar number has been quite low compared to the last quarter because of the cyclical business. That is the first reason. Another reason on the engineering business front, it has been improved because of the lower price reductions into the metal prices, which has not been passed through to the customer yet, and hence we have some benefit in this quarter, which will be passed through as per the pass-through cycle mechanism, as you are aware. And top onto that, product mix, as we discussed, that bushing sales has grown significantly, plus also the sales of the Japanese customers and other customers has grown. Those all put together has improved into the margin percentage. Top onto that, a better result from the subsidiaries, especially China, which is positive in both bottom line as well as gross margin percentage level.
Sure, thanks, sir. And just wanted to know, sir, this level of gross margin, is it sustainable? I mean, you said that the material prices have not been passed on. So it will be passed on. So what do you think is a normal steady state gross margin for Harsha going on from here?
See, yeah, material pass-through is always an ongoing scenario from a perspective. So usually 48 to 50 is our standard range.
Yeah. That's right, around 50. That should be more sustainable.
Yes, yes. Sure, sir. And so just wanted to know, in terms of bearing demand, how are you looking at it from a broader India perspective? Of course, demand is good, you know, India story looking good. Just some color on bearing demand and localization capex of the big three, big three bearing manufacturers are there. They have strong capex plans, well known. Just wanted some more color on the localization and how are you looking at going from a 2 to 3 year perspective?
Yeah, that, bearing demand has been fairly strong in India and primarily driven by what you just mentioned, apart from overall market growth in India, the fact that our customers are deploying this China Plus One or an India manufacturing strategy, we are continuing to see some growth related to that. Still a lot of it yet to come through as our customers are setting up facility. We have some positive indications and higher demand coming in next 1 to 2 years is what, indication we have from our customer on account of those facilities coming online.
Sure, sir. And, sir, you did mention that, bronze bushings revenue in this quarter was on 20 crores and you're looking at an aim of 80 crores for the whole year. So that is good. I just wanted to know, in terms of your regular engineering business, it's having, engineering business has an EBITDA margin of 21% roughly. So does bronze bushing give you a better margin as compared to that margin?
Jason, actually, as a matter of policy, we don't want to go into segmental margins, but just marginally better, but let's work with a blended margin of 20-21% as a sustainable long-term EBITDA in my engineering India business.
Okay, sure, sir. And, sir, just some color on this, sir mentioned that it doesn't mean that the revival of wind market, but there is some increased allocation to Harsha by, your customer. So just some more color how exactly it is working. Last time you had mentioned that, the bushings are going as a, in the wind gearbox already pre-installed or something like that. So how is that panning out?
Yeah, so what we actually mean by that is that, our customers, they are increasing the share of bushings. So two ways the share of bushing is increasing. One, by they are making more gearbox which are incorporating bushings. So that's the share increase of bushing, as well as some customers are actually giving bigger chunk of their bushing business share to Harsha instead of an imported source. So combination of those two, we are growing within that.
Okay. And sure, sir, and just final question from my side, just wanted to know, on a subsidiary level, you mentioned that your loss has significantly reduced. It's come to around $25 million right now, the loss. So, sir, just wanted to know, I mean, for the whole year, how are you looking at it, if any number if you want to share, or what are the steps you are taking for, you know, rectifying or reducing the losses in Romania and China? China, of course, you said, but just wanted to know what are the steps you are taking to do that.
Jason, there has been continuous steps, including the interaction with the customers, cost reductions, improving product mix. So there are multiple steps at a time we are taking for both the subsidiaries, and management is very much focused on ensuring the turnaround of both the subsidiaries, where China is already leading the path. As Vishal has already mentioned in his opening remarks, that for the year, we see that both the subsidiaries put together will give a marginal range-bound positive or negative number or a break-even for the year. That is the target we see based on the current scenario.
Sure, sure. Thank you for taking my question, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
The next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question and congratulations for decent set of numbers. First question, in your opening remark, you highlighted about, you know, started receiving orders from the client setting up in India, and this is amid China plus one. So wanted to understand, are we building in any revenue from these customers in our guidance? That is one. What are these customers and what kind of, you know, products? Is it bushings or large cages? If you could give more color on this aspect, yeah.
So we have, you know, already projected some revenue from that based on in our projection, and you know that's how what we have shared. And it is starting. It is starting to come into our revenue already. Now, I can't reveal exact product, but it has been, you know, a very large portfolio variety, depending on customer, they are making very different varieties. And it has been almost across the board product portfolio, which they are targeting to build in India, and we are seeing some demand for that, and we are getting ready in terms of capacity to match their expectations, as well as doing development where needed. But you know, overall, that's
So see, one customer whom we all know has already started their production, and yes, we are a major beneficiary. The second customer we are talking about is likely to start around October, November, and we are in advanced stage of discussions for most of the requirements. So, as predicted, I think yes. We are a lion's share in all those incremental businesses. That's all I can say.
So any number we are factoring in for FY25, if possible for you to share?
Overall, when I talk about overall growth, mein wo aa gaya.
You already captured the likelihood.
Right. And second on...
higher share of growth. But a console level growth of around 10% captures this very well.
Okay. Second, on the bronze bushings, you highlighted 80 crore for this year. Some more color with respect to how is the capex going, and then what is the target for next year now since the things have started coming? And is this 80 crore coming from a single customer? That is my question.
Yeah, this 80 crore revenue is coming from more than one customer. You know, we don't have, you know, exact indication for next year, so a little too early for that. However, we are working for customers to build capacity, prepare for next year. So this is an ongoing conversation. We are very positive for growth next year, but at this point, I don't have a number.
It's bound to grow, but how much? I think as we move ahead, we will be able to share.
And sir, capex progress on bronze bushing?
Yeah, so so this is ongoing. We have continued to invest. We had invested for, you know, current year current revenue. We have already invested last year, and we are building that third facility, and some capex is to support this bushing growth is ongoing and planned and in pipeline for next year. More precise numbers are, you know, under evaluation, under discussion with customer. So the progress has been on the capex very well. We will likely start that facility, the third site, in fourth quarter FY25. Where phase one includes investment for incremental bushing capacity.
Right. Lastly, on you mentioned that the large cages have witnessed some softness from windmill side and industrial side. Is it in India or in Europe? And second thing, at one end, we are seeing that the bushing sales is picking up, which again serves the wind sector. At other end, we are talking about large bearing cages witnessing some softness from the wind sector. So if you could, you know, highlight what is digressing between these two.
Yeah, so overall the softness in so large cages are primarily focusing on the industrial. Wind is one of the sub market within that. Overall we are seeing a global industrial softening, specifically driven by Europe. So that's one of the direct reason, you know, why we see that soft. Now, as I mentioned earlier on the, you know, bushing side, that it's not really the market or a demand, but the conversion which we were anticipating from to gearbox using bushings, earlier not using bushing to converting to using bushing is what is driving the growth, and a little bit of, you know, our share increasing with our customers. So that's why you see a little bit different situation or two different directions there. I think it's fairly overall wind market is still soft across.
So just to add to what Vishal said, you see, while our customers, they manufacture gearboxes, our order book is good, we don't know exactly where they supply. So our assumption is that yes, they would be supplying to Indian wind market as well, some portion. India is growing, so there's a mix of reasons, but yes, as Vishal explained, that does not mean that European wind market is back to normal. No, clearly no.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much for taking my questions. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Can you give a broad geographical split of the exports that we do from India? And where do you see the most pressure on sales going ahead? And I'm asking this because the large global players in their recent quarterly earnings calls, they have mentioned that they see the most pressure in China, followed by Europe and USA. So is the situation same or a little bit different for us? If you could give your thoughts on that.
I think I would probably say that it's very similar for us. You know, China is a little bit of a challenging market. Even though there is a, you know, across the board from our customer, the pressure of, you know, challenges are visible. However, at this point in time, China, relative to what we were doing last year, is doing better. So we are seeing at least short-term a good demand, but that doesn't, you know, guarantee that that is sustainable and all that. So that risk remains. After China or I think currently we are seeing a clear sign of softening in European market, and that remains a challenge for us. So I mean, I think and how it impacts us in Romania, we have talked about there is some impact of that in India as well, and overall in India the industrial portfolio has some impact because of that. We remain positive for Asia, India, and US, North America, or America looks fairly decent. So that's how we are right now looking at it. I don't have specific numbers for those.
Sure.
Standalone India, about 45% is exports, 55% is domestic.
So within that 45%, how large would be Europe and China? That's what I wanted to know.
Europe is major. Europe is significant.
I would say Europe will be more than 50% of 45%.
Understood. And also, would there be any material difference in the margins that we earn from exports to Europe versus, let's say, China, USA, or any other part of the world?
Not blended. Yeah, keep blended as a guideline.
Yeah. Understood.
Yeah, we change our product in some cases, but it doesn't vary by region.
Understood. Thank you very much for taking my questions and all the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Rathi from Aditya Birla Money. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my question. Most of my questions have already been answered, but so you mentioned in the opening remark on the last call as well that we are on track to meet our target of 10-15% of the top line on the top line front. Is it right? Are we still on track for 10%, at least more than 10% on the top line front?
Yes, as Vishal said, yes.
Correct.
On the we are on the
annualized basis, not quarter over quarter.
Yes. And we also mentioned that 25% on the bottom line front. Is that also, are we on track on that?
Percentage, but we said much higher growth on bottom line, obviously. As you can see, the Q1 profitability also is better. So, I mean, you do your maths, but that's all we can say.
All right. So, this is for FY25, and if you could share anything on FY26, are we anticipating a similar kind of growth? Is it
there are two, three factors. It all depends on a few variables, which as on today we can't predict. Yes, our long-term strategic guidance remains at a 10-15% top-line growth on a compounded annual growth rate basis and maintaining and slightly improving on the margins. But I would say, as soon as our greenfield comes in production, B, our strategy at Romania level actually gets implemented, and C, certain further improvement in visibility on our key other drivers, I think we will be able to be more specific, say, hopefully by end of Q2 or closer to maybe end of Q3. But you can broadly take a similar 10-15% overall guidance, of course, not necessarily then taking the base of 24-25, profit margins would be also in sync rather than an extraordinarily strong growth over 25. You get my point?
All right, got it. So just roughly doing numbers on FY25 basis, if I give 12-12.5% growth, so what kind of net margins are we looking at? If you could broadly give me a range, something. Are we going back to our FY23 levels of 12-12.5% on net margin level? Is that
the
target?
What I suggest is, if you want to do a specific one-to-one call with Maulik, and you can do it. But very broadly, if you can see, our net margin on a console basis is because of the subsidiaries and other things, is currently around roughly about 10 to 11%. It can improve. Definitely, it should improve. Our earlier estimates are on a higher side. Let us see how it goes. We definitely look forward to improving it 100%.
Sure,
the
sir.
Problem is today it's dragged down by my foreign subsidiaries. The moment they are normal, things will improve quite a bit.
All that, I get it, sir. Okay, sir, thanks a lot and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sriram Kapoor from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. I just had a few questions, starting with, you know, you mentioned that 20-21% is a sustainable EBITDA margin in the India engineering business. Though if we see in, you know, last two quarters, we've got about 24%. So is that, were there any one-offs or so that led to this higher margin and, you know, why is it not sustainable going forward?
So I tell you, we always work with a set of variable factors. So as you know, we work with a pass-through scenario. Then there are fluctuating commodity prices, correct? So what happens in a particular quarter if my raw material prices have come down a bit but my selling prices have not adjusted, that quarter looks a little better. So you know what, as a management, our sustainable, again, we are talking of reported margins versus operating margin. So at the operating margin level, we feel that a long-term sustainable at India level is 20-21%. And I think that, yes, we in one quarter or two quarters, we have done a little better. Maybe in another quarter, I may go down a little bit. So it's always better to see on a long-term average basis rather than, you know, extrapolate on a given quarter. That is what our philosophy is.
Understood. So when you say operating margin, you mean excluding other income in this scenario, right? 20-21% excluding other income.
Which is beyond our control, exactly.
Excluding not 100% other income other than ERF, and importantly, what Sanjay referred here
operating,
is the sustainable operating margin.
And including all operating income.
Yeah, all operating.
All operating,
including ERFs.
Okay, no, that's clear. Thank you. My next question is on, you know, your exports from India. So this quarter we saw a minus 5% degrowth sort of in this quarter. Is this, as you mentioned, largely because of the European demand coming down? Or are we also seeing, you know, which are the other regions that are kind of seeing, are we kind of seeing some degrowth? And which are the regions where there is some growth, and if you could give us some numbers on that as well.
Yeah, so effectively you rightly mentioned one of the reason of degrowth is Europe slowdown, and also because of the higher bushing sales and as well as domestic demand on the cage front too, which has resulted into the higher India proportion in this quarter compared to our previous quarter in the total value.
Just to add to what Maulik bhai said, you see, our problem is that we work as per customer's requirement. So many times in a given quarter, if their order book doesn't want me to push a little more, it doesn't mean that this is a permanent feature. But I would say broadly, this 55-45 is the percentage which can be maintained. India growing more is one strong factor. But yes, a little softening of Europe, but don't read much into it.
Okay, thanks for that. And the last question I had is on other expenses, you know, in Q1 FY25, if we see it, there was a fairly decent jump in your other expenses to about 74 crores versus, you know, 70 crores odd for the last few quarters. And even as a percentage of your top line, the other expenses has increased. So were there any, you know, one-off higher expenses or is this going to be a sustainable rate going forward?
No, not significantly one-off. It is a regular business expenditure higher. And also because of the recovery of China business, some more expenses over there because of the top-line increase over that side. But we don't observe any major significant one-off in the other side.
Okay. Great. Thank you. That's all from my end, and all the best in the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank Bhandari from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is on the capacity utilization number in China and Romania both for the quarter.
Yeah, we don't publish effective capacity quarter over quarter. But in this quarter, the China capacity utilization has gone up because of the higher demand and higher production happened over there, and which is more than around 55% range. I can just give you, I don't have a ready numbers. And Romania remains lower overall because of the Euro slowdown and even the top line reduced. It would be less than 50% in Romania.
And sir, for the whole group, capacity utilization number?
So again, we don't make it as a group, but yeah, India will be 65-70 around. I can give you that. Because there is a different, we already discussed this in few calls, there is a different parameters on the capacity and different sizes and different materials. And
but yeah, India average 65-70 is the range, 100%. Yeah.
Okay, and on the bushing part, I think you had mentioned last call that 200 crore is the potential capacity in terms of revenue. Is so this 200 crore will be derived for this FY25, or how do you expect that?
Yeah, so FY25 200 crore will not happen. We think that that will happen, but it may take another 2 to 3 years. I don't have an accurate prediction, but that's the business volume we are trying to target, work with, and eventually reach. That's the idea. And further, we are working to grow this as well from a potential point of view. But too early to give you a number for next year or year beyond that.
Yeah, but that's the target over next 2-3 years. You're right.
Okay, next 2-3 years. And sir, one more thing. I mean, as you have been mentioning, we have been seeing that all major bearing players are increasingly resorting to increased outsourcing, and major players are doing capex in India, bearing players. However, our growth guidance of 10% growth this year is a bit conservative. I mean, are we also seeing, just a clarification, are we also seeing increased cages manufacturing, in-house manufacturing by the customer globally as well as in India? Is it like the outsourcing thing or the incremental outsourcing has slowed down? Just clarification from us.
So, see, we don't see any increase in insourcing by our customers. We only see a single trend, that increasing outsourcing. So even in this difficult market, our customers are working with us to outsource more and more cages. So that is a very constant trend, irrespective of what's going on, in the market. Now, your point about 10% growth, we are talking about 10% global growth. If you look at our revenue on a standalone basis, almost 50% is going globally. Another, on the consolidated basis, about 65-70% of our revenue is coming outside India and addressing the global demand. So If you look at market growth globally, and if you look at very long term on the bearing side, is more like 6-7%
globally. So, and currently this market, we are seeing a very tough market and a degrowth possibly in significant degrowth in Europe and other pockets. So combination, I don't know what would be the global growth of bearing and bearing cages, but my guess is it would be less than 5% or maybe less than 4%. So against that kind of number, we are trying to deliver a 10% growth globally, and that's how I think you should look at.
So India will obviously grow more aggressively. That's very logical. But the problem is it is offset by very, very slow or even a little flat or even negative growth at Romania level and very marginal growth in China. That is how it is.
And so lastly, if we look at the commentary from the electric vehicle side globally, there is talk about it to slow down across the globe or increased competitive intensity. So, just your thoughts on what's happening on the EV side of the business globally.
Yeah, so, primarily we don't see, very specific input on the EV. Most of our products, a lot of our products are sometimes dual use. However, what we are hearing from our customer and customer is that long-term EV direction remains intact. As an example, one of our customers has targeted, shared a target that, the EV adoption or a new EV would be about 30 to 40% share of vehicles sold in 2030. So, overall, that EV growth will continue to happen. Maybe there is a short-term slowdown on that. However, we are not. There might be a minor impact or plus and minus, which we are not clearly able to see. But overall, our customers are very, bullish overall about it. They are participating in EV adoption, and at the same time, getting ready for whatever changes are happening in the market. And we are also, same way, getting ready by offering more plastic cages as an example, which support the weight reduction, working on some clean cages and so on and so forth. So that's how it is working so far.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Gupta from InvestSavvy PMS. Please go ahead.
Good evening. It's audible.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so my question pertaining to the normal situation, we're not talking about the
can you be a little
clearer? Yeah, your voice is breaking.
So may I request you to please use your handset?
Yes, using the same. Right now it's audible?
Yes, sir. Please.
It's clear? Yeah. So my question is more related to the normal geographic situation. Not talking about the right now current situation, what's happening in Europe. You are seeing the degrowth in Europe and maybe in China. PMI indexes are for manufacturing are going down, right, month over month. But in the normal situation, what it takes to gain the market share in the global market, as you stated in your PPT, 6 to 7% of market share there globally, right? So, and in India, you have more than 50-60% of market share. So now, if you are expanding, market, it is.
Hello.
Sir, you get the question. Little bit sense of the question. You get anything?
Yeah. So, Karan, if I understand your question, even at the cost of
on certain assumptions that what you are saying is about my global market share and how I'm going to gain it in a normal situation. If that's your question, let me talk a little bit, maybe at the cost of repetition for some of our participants. So when this 6% itself is a little misnomer in the sense that when you look at the whole pie, but if you look at the relevant pie, then in India, I think our market share is much higher, at least 80%, 70%, 80%, 90%. Globally, if you exclude the unorganized sector and if you exclude the insourced sector segment where some of the bearing companies are themselves still manufacturing cages, then I would hazard a guess that my market share is much higher than the 6%. So for that relevant market, I would say my wallet share across the world in the top players, SKF, Schaeffler, Timken, would be anywhere between 10% to 20%. In some pockets it is higher, some pockets it is lower. Again, as we have mentioned in our presentation, the growth is obviously continued focus on outsourcing, conversion of these customers from insourcing to outsourcing. Then specific pockets of opportunities like in a normal situation, large size bearing cages being one area where, you know, our wallet share today is very low. Even within my large existing customers, it is low. So I can go up from maybe 2-3% now to about 10% over the next few years. Then Japan-based customers, where again my wallet share is very low, but I have already penetrated, so I can significantly grow on the back of them. And then obviously bronze bushing, stamping, China plus one. So these are the factors where in a normal situation, I'm fairly confident of doing a 15% average top line CAGR rather than 8-10% and then all these pains that we are currently facing.
Okay, so globally, how the market is competitive in terms of your bearing cages segment? So locally, what are the competition and challenges you are facing there in the normal situation?
Yeah. So in cages, we have three major competitors on the outsourcing front globally. One company is a Japanese company called NKC, who is number one actually in terms of their standing in this business as well as their wallet share. We come at number two. And taking the same analogy, if I am 6%, on the total pie, then NKC is about 11-12%. And then the third player is a German player called MPT in Germany. The MPT is much smaller. They may have a 2-3% market share. Then there's a long tail, unorganized sector, so many other marginal small players whom we don't reckon as competition because we are mainly focused only on the large organized 6-7 global players of the world who are my key customers across the world in 60-70 countries or across many locations. So that way the advantage which I believe I have is that I am, my entire product mix, I'm sorry, you are not audible. Something is wrong with your line, my friend.
Yes, sir. I would request you to rejoin the queue.
Your voice is audible.
So you can hear me, then let me complete, assuming that would
be... Yes. You can go, sir.
Yeah. So this is the competition scenario. India mein koi hai nahi. There is only one small player whom really... They don't have the product mix that bronze, brass, steel and plastic. I'm the only one having all the three, and therefore I believe with being in India, large capacities in India, I think we are better placed to face the competition.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir, for cooperating.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Jason from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for taking my question again. So just wanted a, just had a slight clarification. So you said, when you said 55% of your sales is domestic and 45% is exports, you meant on the standalone level, right?
Standalone.
So 45% exports, out of that 50% is Europe. So that makes it around 22.5% for Europe on a standalone level, right?
Yeah. Sure, sir.
And sir, just one more question I had. I mean, you know, in terms of when you look at your segmental margins for engineering only on a standalone level, they were around 21.7% for FY24. Now, in on the one on one two, you have made 24.7%, which is of course a good improvement. Now, of course, now you have the elections out of the way, and you know. So, do you see increased traction for next year, FY25? Of course, CapEx is on a good, you know, is on a good momentum also. Do you see benefits of operating leverage, more enhanced capacity utilization coming from here? You know, do you see there are more margin levers with us going ahead into 25-26 from this 21.7% level?
Yeah, Jason, I think we already answered the margin questions in one of the another question, where we already said that our blended margin you should assume 20-21%, and there has always been a plus or minuses in quarter over quarter due to price pass-through mechanism as well as the procurement mechanism and inventory level. Hence, according to me, on this margin, as we have informed in one of our previous call, we are committed to improve this margin in next 2 to 3 years by 100 basis points to 200 basis points at a console level. And not only in India engineering level, at a console level, we are committed to improve around 100 to 200 basis.
So while, Jason, we are agnostic in a way to elections, actually we were always agnostic to elections. Having said that, if your implication is that, yes, now there will be a more aggressive capex, etc., etc., I think we are very focused on the bearing segment, and I think it's fairly stable. Let's put it like that.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Shriram Kapoor from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. My question is on your stamped components business, where you mentioned you had 14 crore of sales in Q1. Could you give some, you know, outlook on where, you know, what your long-term target is, not only for FY25, but, you know, FY26, 27, where, how you see the sales growing here and what will be the main drivers?
Yeah, so on that product line, you know, we are targeting multiple segments, including, you know, household equipment or appliances rather, and HVAC market, electrical market, and automotive as well. So, yeah, correct, and the railway market also. So, combination of all that, we see a good growth potential there. I don't have a specific guidance for year next year or otherwise, but from a philosophical and directional point of view, we think that definitely what this unit or this subsection, which is you know, doing a revenue of 40-50 crore, could grow to a 200 crore easily in a midterm future is what we see, but we are still working on it, and again, I don't have a very specific guidance on this.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Rangwala for closing comments.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for participating in this call. And, you know, we hope you got all the inputs or clarification needed. And thank you and good evening. Thank you very much.